Tony B needs no long intro. This dude's been
keeping it real
for 20 years in Big Orange Country. Now, let's get to today's Tony Vasilio show.
Make some noise.
You better bow your head when you say his name. As I get started on the good foot today, I got the great Charles Davis with me and Dr. Sean Sinclair, who joins me generally on Wednesdays. Generally, we're together. Today, we're apart. But you can't keep us apart because he stays forever in my heart, as does the great Charles Davis, who joins us live off the top. He, with his duties with Fox and NFL Network and all that good stuff. And Charles, I welcome you in. And Cinco, I welcome you in. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning, Tony. How you doing?
Charles, it's great to talk to you. And
thanks for having me.
It's wonderful, man, to talk with you. You know, first thing I want to say to you is every time we talk, one thing that always comes across is how much you love your alma mater. And we're about to get it back here, Charles. We've had a couple of real gut punches this year, like Michigan State level gut punches, but we're going to get it back here.
Oh, well, listen, we've talked about this over the last few years, and I think you could pull any tape of any show we've done together, and I think you would find that I was expecting that from the moment Butch Jones got hired, that it was an expectation. It wasn't a hope. It wasn't well, let's see what happens. I think I was a little more like that if you pulled the tapes from a couple of previous coaches. I was a little more skeptical is the wrong word because I've always been supportive of my university. But let's just say from the beginning, I wasn't all in terms of expectations. With Butch Jones, and I guess I could just ask you directly, did you ever feel that I was not all in with
Butch? No. And here's the thing. You know what? I'm not all in because I don't know how much I trust his in-game coaching, but we're going to see. I know this at that level. If you can get players, Charles, eventually you win. Eventually you, players are king. You know,
and that's bottom line. That's your capital. And we didn't have players previously.
Nope.
We got exposed. Remember the 1 year with Lane Kiffin, we allegedly had a ton of players, didn't we?
Yep.
If I remember correctly, there was a high ranking to that class, correct?
Yes.
How did that play out?
No, that's right. And so
almost zip in terms of that. From that point on, Coach Dooley worked his butt off, did his best, but never was able to duplicate that type of excitement in terms of recruiting classes. And I think that played out on the field as well. You know, with Butch, yes, the recruiting's been there. And I know that in-game coaching for him and his staff has taken a hit this year. And if I were sitting there with Coach Jones right now, and you know how I feel about him, and you know my personal relationship, I would ask the same question. You know, as a person who has to do this on a weekly basis, I'd be like, okay, someone's got to explain to me what happened here and here. Okay, and hear what he would have to say to that. I would want to know myself. I would tell you that privately, I have not done that with him. He's got enough to worry about this year. I'm not covering his team. I'm not doing his games.
Yeah.
He's got you guys.
Yeah. All over him. All over him. That's right.
He's got all of that. But those were legitimate questions. Those were not questions that were out of bounds. They were not questions that shouldn't have been asked. In fact, I would have been disappointed if people hadn't asked them because they deserved an explanation with him being in the position he is in. So you take it and you fast forward it. Finally, the win over Georgia is what I call a legitimate win. Now, my definition of legitimate win may differ from others, but what I've consistently said over the years is Tennessee is upper echelon. Tennessee's peers are Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, that type of a program. The other programs count. Don't get me wrong. You keep score. You lose to one of them, it can knock you out of a championship. It can make your year worse. That's not my point. My point is, even during the struggles of Tennessee, Tennessee is still viewed as a program that's upper echelon, upper level. Those are the people you should be competing with each and every year. That's where I was counting on Butch to get us back to. So, beating South Carolina, even with Steve Spurrier, of course it counts. But if you were to ask a Tennessee fan and say, okay, South Carolina, we beat them every year. How big is that? Yeah, that's great. Hey, we beat Georgia every year. Yeah, now we're talking. We beat Florida. Now you're into the butt. Hey, we beat Alabama. Yeah. It's a difference. And people, if you're not around the SEC, if you're not a Tennessee person, you might not understand. And guess what? We don't care. We don't care if you don't understand. That's your problem. We know what the deal is. I'm not saying South Carolina is not legitimate, but it's not the one that sends Tennessee people dancing into the streets and thumping their chest and saying, guess what? We're on our way back. Oklahoma, lost opportunity. Florida, major lost opportunity. Actually, both of them are major lost opportunities. Georgia, they found a way. That was big. Now, how will they finish off the season? Remains to be seen. But if I look at that schedule, Alabama at Alabama is the one that you sit there and go, eh. But guess what? This isn't a stage that we're not at a state now with this program and talent where you go to Alabama and go, well, our expectation is to lose by three touchdowns. It's not. Not even close. Let's see how they play with them. But if you were to tell a Tennessee fan today, and tell me if I'm wrong, Tony, hey, shouldn't we beat South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Kentucky? Who else is even left on the schedule?
Missouri. Sweep the schedule, yep.
Missouri. Shouldn't we sweep the rest of it?
Yes.
The answer should be a legitimate yes.
Let me ask you something here, and I'm going to bring Cinco in here. This is you're a great guy to talk to about this because your feet is firmly in two camps. Charles, I'm watching the NFL game right now, and I'm an Eagles fan. I'm watching that Eagle-Giants game the other night, and I've seen so many games this year.
You actually watched the whole thing?
Amen. Amen.
You're a good man.
Thank you.
You're a good man for that. If I'd been working I would have been like, when's this going to end?
Thank you.
I went to sleep. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. I'm going to ask you about this. The state of the NFL, is this a tweener year? What's going on? Because there is so much unwatchable NFL football. And let me ask you, do you think, because I was talking with Jerry Glanville's on me on Thursdays about this issue, and he comes on me every Thursday, and he's so much fun. And I was talking with Jerry Colquitt today, former Vol, who's out.
Yeah.
He's a little younger than you, but he's out on the coast.
I remember and him well.
Jerry was saying today, offensive line play and linebacking play in college right now, they're not preparing those guys for the NFL, and it's having a spillover effect into watching the development of the pro game. I'd like your thoughts on that.
I don't disagree with him at all in terms of that, because the way we play in college, and I'm not sitting here advocating that the college coaches have to change for the NFL. In fact, we're in an era now where for the first time in my lifetime, and I'm 50, that we can legitimately say that the college game is actually pushing influences up to the NFL. That had almost never happened before. It always used to be, don't bring me this Joe College stuff. This is how we do it in the NFL, son. And now you're seeing a lot of college influence in the NFL game. And there's nothing wrong with that. But to Jerry's point, offensive linemen, linebackers, let's just break it down very quickly. Offensive linemen in college, how many of them fire off and move people in short yardage situations? How many of them fire off and move people on first and 10? Most of it is step to the side, find your zone, try and get in front of someone, create a space and let your running back go. That's a lot of the game. Now, the pros zone block too, so don't get me wrong here. But you don't really get a ton of offensive linemen coming out of college now that line up and mash. You don't have much of that. The same third down situations you're having in college, you're having them in the pros too. Can you pick that up? Flip it over to the linebackers. Because we play the spread offense so much, your linebackers are really glorified strong safeties in most cases. You're not getting legitimate downhill thumping linebackers for the most part that come out of college football that translate into the NFL. They're trying to figure out how to either create that guy or work around that guy. Okay? D'Amico Ryans may not be on the field as much in college now as he was at Alabama. Okay? Pick your guy, because Alabama puts out a ton of those downhill thumping type linebackers. But the flip side is, as the NFL game changes itself, those guys aren't on the field as much either. Remember the Dante Hightowers who just dominated in college? He might be a one or two down linebacker now, okay, in the NFL because of the way things are going with them spreading it out. But you are not getting that type of a backer because your outside linebackers, look at the college game. Just look at lineups. 205, 210, 215-pound outside linebackers. In other words, they're strong safeties. They've moved closer to line of scrimmage. They bring speed and make plays on the ball. I'll give you a quick example. Sua Cravens, you know that name, right, Tony? USC?
Yep.
USC safety.
Yep.
Was a USA Today All-American. He might have been the player of the year, high school player of the year, as a safety. He's made most of his plays as an outside linebacker at USC, but he's not appreciably bigger than what he was. It's not like he's all of a sudden turned to a 240-pound kid. He's not. But the way the game's played, spread out, cover these guys, get more speed on the field, put him closer to the line of scrimmage, and let him make plays that way. Shaq Thompson, who came out of Washington last year, a legitimate, strong safety body, played linebacker most of his career at Washington. Now they're trying to figure out in the NFL, how does he truly fit? That's what we're getting. So to Jerry's point, I think it's a legitimate one, but I think that it's working both ways now, and that's something that has to be taken into account. It's not just that the NFL is losing it now. The NFL is trying to figure out, are we going to go a little bit farther in morphing our game than maybe we would have in years past? It's been 10 years ago. The NFL would have adamantly dug its heels in and said no. But guess what? When that's all that's coming at you, and the last point I'll give you, Tony,
that's
when we go to
point.
The combine this year,
Okay,
we go to the combine, all right? The defensive players have consistently, for the last 10 years, and I've seen the study on it, their height, weight, size has declined on the defensive side of the ball at all positions. Why? Same thing we've talked about. Style of offense, what you have to do to keep up with them. You can't substitute the way you used to. Remember Saban and Bielema talking about making the game safer? All they were saying was, I can't substitute my special packages on second down and long, third down and long, that sort of a deal. I can't get my jumbos in on fourth and short because you're going so fast on offense. I have to have a hybrid unit in that can account for whatever you put out there. And guess what? You end up with winning the chess match if you're on offense. That's what they were saying. They can say all they want about player safety. I firmly believe in their hearts they believe that. I don't believe that that's a legitimate deal. It's not player safety. It's they want the chalk on the last play like any other defensive coach would want. When can I get in my guys? They can't because we go too fast and we play with the same people and the hybrids on offense. The wide receiver turns into a slot back. The slot back turns into a tailback. The fullback turns into a tight end. The tight end, you see what I'm doing? And I never substitute. So guess what? You can't either. And I hold you on the field that way. That's how things have changed.
Cinco, jump in here as we visit with Charles Davis today on the program.
Charles, it was refreshing at the beginning of the call that you talked about how you legitimize some of the things that the fans see, and I kind of have a full circle question here. You're all three a fan, a national pundit, and also a former volunteer player. So that was nice. We seem to see right now in talk radio fans getting very disappointed, like at the Florida game, the Oklahoma game, and like you said, rightfully so. And then we're seeing a change here is we're seeing the coaches, like Coach Jones. I don't know if it's thin-skinned or whatever, trying to tell us we're seeing something we're not. And I just really appreciate you coming on here and legitimizing what everyone else really sees. Because I don't think the game's overly complicated. If my wife can see something doesn't work, you know, it's not working. Your thoughts on the interaction now that we have with social media, with 24/7 sports, with, et cetera, fantasy football, more attention, et cetera, and how these coaches, even though they're getting – they're there because of the attention, and that's why they're paid so much. Yet they want to shield themselves from that criticism.
Yeah, and what you bring up, I hope at the end of my answer you don't feel that I'm not co-signing on everything you've actually just said. Okay, can I say that right at the top? Because
sure.
I think you expressed it very well in terms of what people are talking about. Here's what I think is part of the issue. And I can use myself as an example because when I call a ball game, you guys know people are involved in the game, right? And so in the good old days when they hated the announcer, you would have to sit down at your typewriter, right? Or you'd have to pen a longhand letter and you'd send it to ABC or ESPN or Fox or whatever and say, Charles Davis stinks, right? Or you'd send it to your newspaper editor. And sometimes you wouldn't even send it because your anger would dissipate. But right now, because of social media, you know everything's in real time. So there's a lot of things that, as a broadcaster, when I'm doing a game, I will say things that people hate, or they will call me stupid, or worse. And it'll be in real time, and they'll go ahead and tweet it right away. I've had to learn, because if you want to call me thin-skinned, I probably would have to cop to that. I'm not one that deals with criticism very well, although I've had to learn how to do it, and I had to learn how to do it as a player. So it's not like I haven't had it before. It's how do you deal with it? How do you internalize it? How much does it bother you going forward? You know what I've learned to do? I don't check Twitter after a football game that I've done until probably 2-3 days later. Because it used to be I checked Twitter right after the game, and I feel pretty good about the game. We just had a great game. This game ended this way, blah, blah. I knew my mistakes in the game, at least the ones I thought I knew. My producer would tell me later, but that's how we were doing in mechanics, how we were getting it. And you would pop up Twitter, and the vitriol that would come at you would ruin your day. Now, some people handle it real well. Some people just fire back and tell those people to go screw themselves. I'm not one of those people. It bothers me. And sometimes the criticism is on target. And what I mean by, hey, how could you call that third down when it was second down? Hey, how could you call it? That's what I'm talking about. But what you're going to get is both sides listening to a game will hear it differently. And most of the time I've run to the airport, and guys, I've been at the airport more times than I can count on both hands and had people from both sides say, hey, you did that game that I was watching today. You hate my team. And then 5 steps later, hey, I watched that game today. You hate my team. So you get it both ways. It doesn't even out. My point being, all this long story, my point being is, for Coach Jones and the staff, how much criticism have they had to absorb since they've been at Tennessee? Almost none. And if you think about it, almost none. Meaning, the Tennessee fan has been so tremendous over time. Meaning, we knew that the Lane Kiffin thing went down the tubes. We tried to get in with him. We realized we'd almost got hoodwinked, right? Coach Dooley gave it his best shot. It wasn't working. Here comes Coach Jones. We knew he had to build. The Tennessee fan has been so tremendous. They don't get enough credit for their patience because they knew that the building had to occur. They knew the talent debt was there. They knew confidence was down. They knew these kids were taking on their third coach in 4 years or 3 years or whatever the number happened to be. I mean, it was just crazy. They gave Coach Jones and his staff that opportunity to get right. And they did. They recruited like mad. Coach Jones has been everywhere, interacting with Tennessee fans, being a part of the program, making himself a Vol right out of the gate. He didn't try and, you know, work his way. He wanted to be a Vol and immersed himself in Tennessee lore and who we are and what we're about and spoke the language and got with the people. And people love him for it and should still, because he's done nothing wrong that way. But Tennessee fans knew this is going to take a while. Well, guess what? We're really a year ahead of where we're supposed to be, a year ahead of taking on every team head-to-head. But it was one of those weird years. Oklahoma is not vintage Oklahoma. They're good, but they're not the Oklahoma I know. We were legitimately right there and should have beaten them. So they gave us an opening to get there early. Florida, we're 2 years wrong on that one. Should have won last year in Knoxville. You kick 3 field goals, that gets you beat in college football. This year, you do what you do in that game, that gets you beat. I give Florida credit for taking what we put out there for them. But again, should have been a convincing win. Now the people are like, okay, hold up a second. Two teams that we are the equal of, if not better, and we let that get away. I would like an explanation for that. And I think that's the first time that we've had Coach Jones and staff that's been, hey, what's going on? Because before, everything they've done has been brilliant. And it really has, if you sit and analyze it. The recruiting, the getting with the people, the bringing the excitement back to the program, the building up of things. I give them A-plus marks across the board. But it doesn't mean that people can't ask questions in a legitimate game. It wasn't like we lost to Oklahoma by 3 touchdowns and we weren't ready and we weren't good enough. Same thing with Florida. That's why the questions come. Does that make any sense at all?
Absolutely. Just like me doing and I appreciate game. That. I like
right?
that.
It's just like me doing a ball game. Yep. You know?
Yep.
I've got to understand that criticism is going to come, and I do understand it. But when it comes at you in a barrage like that, it's tough. And so that's what Coach, I think, and his staff are trying to adjust to. because prior to, hadn't been a lot of criticism, even when we lost games.
Well, I very much appreciate that. I want to switch gears if I could, please. Many people may not know this, but I believe you were the leading scorer in the state of New York in high school and basketball as well, if not one of the top scorers. And I'm sure most people don't know that. But I like you doing football. I don't know what your contract situation is, but have you ever entertained the thought of doing basketball? Because I think that would be in your wheelhouse.
Oh, I love you for it. I actually have done a bunch of basketball. If you can, you know, if you're ever really, really bored and want to get into my path, I've done a ton. I'm the son of a high school basketball coach. I played for my dad. My dad coached high school, collegiate level, the whole deal. So I ended up playing for him my last 2 years in high school. And yeah, we put the ball in the basket a few times. Okay. So I knew how to finish off and score and the whole thing. As I got into my broadcasting career, I was fortunate enough to have opportunities. I've done high school basketball as an analyst. I've done college men's and women's basketball as an analyst. I've done sidelines on NBA games. Listen, I've done analyst work in college basketball for the old Big East Conference, which was the original, not the one that we see now. I'm talking about the Georgetowns, the Villanovas, the, you know, St. John's, the Syracuses, that Big East. I was doing games like that. I did ACC. I did SEC. A Conference USA, when it was that Conference USA with Louisville and Cincinnati and that crew. So I've been around, and I've been fortunate enough that I won't even use a name, but at one point I was ahead of another guy who's now a national basketball guy who does games for the big time networks and does big time games. And for 3 years, when it came time to get this one big game, I always got it ahead of him. And to this day, he's still mad at me for that. So yeah, could I do it? I have no doubt in my mind because I've done it before and I actually love it and was raised in it. So thank you very much for that. That's very, very nice thing to say, but I'm extremely happy, obviously, doing football because I've got a job that a lot of people want, and I'm lucky enough to have it.
Hey, now that we have the door open here and we've got you in a different line of work, you going to come back and take the AD job here if they call you?
Please.
Because we have a bammer. We have a
pretty please.
Charles, we have a bammer at the head of this thing right now. We need somebody that loves this place.
Tony, you know me well. You know me.
You don't want to take a pay cut.
I want to get involved in, listen, I'll get involved in anything where if someone already has the job. It's my university. So I support Dave Hart and everyone who's over there doing it because I know it's not an easy job. And if it ever comes open and people were legit about it, I'd be happy to listen. But it has to be open. And I'm hoping that it never is. I'm hoping that things keep improving. We keep doing better, and I keep supporting Dave Hart and the rest of the crew over there. I know it sounds politically correct.
No, we don't need bammers. We need a Tennessee guy. I need a Tennessee guy.
Listen, Tennessee guys, Alabama guys, whatever guys don't matter. It's a matter of does that person want to be in that position? Does that person embrace where they are? And does that person produce? Because I've seen it all across the board where people never went to those schools. And they're doing okay. Like, look at the University of Utah right now. Wouldn't you say that legitimately they could be the number one team in the country in football? Kyle Whittingham is their head coach. Do you know his whole family's BYU? He played at BYU. It's worked out pretty well. So that's all I'm saying. It can work no matter what. I don't care what stripes, what colors you wore somewhere else. Do you want to be at that place and do you produce? Just like the job I'm in now.
So you would take it.
I certainly do.
You would take it. If they called you, you'd take it.
Listen, we'd have to have a strong conversation about it because I absolutely love what I'm doing right now.
Charles, I love you, man. I like having fun with you, and I love putting you on the spot. Hey, you're fun, and I love putting you on the spot. It's always thought-provoking talking with you. Hey, God's best to you, man. Keep doing what you're doing, and blessings to your family, too.
Great talking with you two today.
Right,
I hope I made sense in the answers I gave, and I hope that it all worked out. And you guys know how much I love the University of Tennessee.
Thank you, Charles.
You guys keep knocking them dead, okay?
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you, brother. And I look forward to you being the AD here.
That's right.
30 past
Blackburn, or both.